looking at the Word, I was reminded that God says one thing more than anything else in the Bible, and it's not prosperity, although there's lots about it. It's not healing. It's this simple little thing. Do not fear. Do not fear. If you study through the Bible, you'll find that expression time and time again. It may not come out as do not fear, but it's still dealing with fear. Having said all that, God must have known that His people were going to have to deal with fear big. And He reminded of it every instant that He could. Do not fear. And so each one of you this morning, God is yet saying, do not fear. I think about fear in my own life and think about how that there's all kinds of opportunities for it. Have you ever thought about how many times you fear something every week?
I don't think we want to think about it.
You know, there's a good fear, though. There's say again, John?
Godly fear.
Well, we'll call it godly fear. That's wonderful. It's you know what? We teach our children not to do some things, and we try not to instill the spirit of fear, but a healthy respect about some things, right? And sometimes that comes out like fear. But the bottom line is, in general, of course, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but He didn't tell us not to have some godly fear sometimes. And so we ought to be careful with all of that. But, you know, the bottom line is that there are all kinds of circumstances that will cause us to get into fear. For an example, think about a situation. Maybe it's a young person and they're going to an interview for a job. You know, sometimes it's just hard to walk in the door of the interview because you don't know what's going to happen to you on the other side of that door. And so fear can try to stop you from getting the best job of your life. Fear can try to stop you from having all the blessings of Almighty God. In fact, most time that's why fear comes.
Yep.
What are you in fear of today? Well, you know, I want to take us to a story that we've spent some time in this congregation from Matthew and 14 to look at fear a little bit this morning. How many know Matthew 14 is the story of people getting out of the boat? One man in particular, and the rest that didn't.
Yeah.
I look at the story a little bit differently these days than I looked at it way back years ago, even in the times that I did the series about getting out of the boat. God continued to show me some things. Did you know all those people that were in the boat? You can't read in the Bible that God asked them to get out of the boat.
That's right.
And so, you know, over the years, we may have thought, well, they were all in fear. They're just afraid to get out of the boat. But maybe they weren't called to.
Yeah.
There are lots of times that we're called to do something where we can get into fear and never enter into all that God has for us. Fear's a big deal. In fact, in my studies and in what the Lord shows me, I recognize that one of the biggest reasons that God said, do not fear, is a huge reason for it. And that's, you could miss, because of your fear, what God wants for you.
Absolutely.
Fear can strike down your faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it takes faith to step out in the things of Almighty God, and fear can get in the road.
Yeah.
Do not fear, John.
Yeah.
Don't fear. You know, there's some things ahead that if we're not very understanding of what God says about all of this, that we won't enter into His fullness. We won't enter into His plan. That can happen to a whole congregation. That can happen individually. But fear's a big deal. Fear's really a big deal. In any event, I wanted to go to Matthew and 14 for a few minutes today. And we'll start down at verse 22. My Bible, and I'm using a little different one this morning. This is an NIV. My Bible says this. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Then the disciples saw him walking on the lake. They were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. So the first sign of fear has just arrived. I want to also point out to you that the wind was already boisterous. That's what it just said, right? It said the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. There are some versions of the Bible that make it look like the wind just came out after our man got out of the water and began to walk, but it was already there. Interesting thought that'll come up again later on. But I want you to see that they all cried out in fear. In other words, even the most courageous of them all is crying out in fear here. They think it's a ghost of some kind. My Bible here says they were terrified, which is, how many know that terror comes out of fear? And so it's telling us that there's fear in two different ways here. "It's a ghost," they cried, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's me, it's I, don't be afraid." Again, there's something about to happen. There's something that God wants to happen. There's a way that God wants to show himself, but fear could stop them from receiving all of the blessings, everything that God wants for them, or even to step into his plan. And so I want you to hear this morning that fear's big. Over and over and over again, he talks to us from his word. Don't be afraid. So here we are now, and Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Your Bible may say it just a little bit differently, but I want you to notice that Peter did not say, "Help me to walk on the water." Sometimes it's preached like that Peter just wanted to walk on the water. No, he just wanted to get to Jesus. And that's a key deal too. He just wanted to get to Jesus. But you know, fear can stop you from doing that too. Fear can stop you from doing the Word of God. Fear can stop you from hearing the voice of God, the Holy Spirit of God moving on in him. Fear can stop you. And so again, hear the Word of the Lord. Don't be afraid. It's a big deal. "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And the word, come. Come to me, in other words. He didn't say, walk on the water. He just said, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Yeah. And beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me. Let me stop." See how many times in this story fear comes up? I believe fear comes up like that in every story. I believe we meet fear every day of our lives. I believe we meet fear every time God asks us to do something. And so let me just stop right now, have you examine your own life. Have there been some things in your life where God told you to do something, even just by his word, and you feared, and feared so greatly you didn't walk in it? Well, not any of you had that happen to you, so let me tell you about one of mine. There was something that God had asked me to do that wasn't that big. It wasn't that huge. I was a young Christian, but I feared that God would not meet my needs if I stepped out to do what he'd told me to do. even though I knew what the Word said, even though, you know what, God had been meeting my needs along the way and all that, and for the most part I was comfortable with it, but all of a sudden I was facing, God had told me to step out of the job that I had, what I was doing, and do something for Him. Mm-hmm. And fear came. I did not step out. I couldn't overcome that fear. Even though I knew the Word said, do not fear.
Yep.
I couldn't overcome the fear. So I messed up big. I probably was a five-year-old Christian at the time and should have known better. But that fear stopped me. And all of my life, not that it destroyed everything, my God forgave me and all of that. I repented over it, all of those things. But I've recognized that fear stopped me then. And if I didn't get a handle on how to handle fear, that it would stop me again. And so I think that we all face it, and we often make decisions, even though we know what God said for us to do, and don't do things, because fear is imminent, fear is real, it's right there in your face. Can you identify with that today?
Amen.
I'm hearing the Spirit of the Lord wanting us to lift fear so that we can go on into this time in our lives, this time in our church, and fulfill the vision that He gave us. One more time, we'll need to look at the vision. And then what we're going to need is to examine our fear. What wants to stop us from doing the very will of God in our lives? Let's continue in the story a little bit. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." This time, he's already stepped into what God's plan for him. He'd already walked on the water. And as a church, we've already walked on the water. We've gone lots of places where God asked us to do it. God said, do this, and we've stepped out and done it over the years. We're coming up to celebrate our 25th anniversary as a church here in Prince Albert at the end of November. That celebration is a celebration of overcoming fear. But we have something huge right ahead of us, the next phase of what God wants us to do. And fear could stop us. Now, some people will say, that's just common sense. We've got common sense. We're not going to do that. But what we often label common sense is simple fear. In fact, there's a saying, isn't there? Nothing could stop me but fear and common sense. The bottom line is it's fear. If God said it, there's no common sense involved. The only common sense is to obey God. Now we have to examine our fear. I like, though, what Peter did. He knew to run to Jesus. He's got his fear. The fear is facing him big. And you know what? Remember now, the wind and the waves were already there when he stepped out of the boat. But somehow, some way, it looks bigger to him now. Maybe it's because he's not in the boat and walking on the water, right? But he's all of a sudden rediscovered the wind and the waves, and things are looking formidable to him. Lord, save me. Maybe we ought to be saying it even now. Maybe we ought to be running to Jesus even now. Because the building of this building is one thing that we'll finish in April of this year. But then it's putting the building to the use that God gave it to us for. Another giant step. You know, here's what I know. The vision is that this building is first a convention center that touches the city with a church in it. But it's first a convention center. Now, I have some business acumen. I've been in business a lot of my life, and I understand the very principles of business, but I also know that this is going to take, in order to make this happen for Jesus here, and I know we'll be graced to do that, but we're going to need someone that is graced, particularly graced, to market the convention side of this building. We're going to need somebody that has an amazing amount of business acumen, that has the right gifting mix to touch the city with this building. Someone who has not fear in marketing a convention center. Now, most of us here would have that. If we don't have the gift mix to do it, we'd be kind of silly to even try. Because managing, causing people to come into this building in the way that God wants them to, I'll tell you what, they need to have some giftings that God's grace can be applied to. There are a number that are going to need to be on site and on team to make this happen. So even for your prayer life today, we really need to, without fear, recognize this building will need to be operated in a very, very clear, business-like way that appeals to other businesses, organizations, and groups that need to come through the door. Why do we want them to come through the door? Why does God want them to come through the door? You know, it's not common. For an example, one of the major things that happens in this city every year is the Premier's Dinner. Well, you know, it's not common for the Premier's Dinner to go to some church. But I have faith to believe the Premier's Dinner will take place in this building. But a series of events has to take place for that to happen. The building has to be marketed in such a way that business, big business, people in positions like our premier and so on, would decide this is a good place to come, a safe place. I like to think of even a room like this. Our architect tells us that we could sit down to dinner 1,000 people in this room. Well, we've not all set it up to see if we could do that, but his measurements and all of that say that we could sit 1,000 people for dinner in this room. Did you know there's not another building like this one when it's finished in Prince Albert that will be able to handle people that kind of size? And so God's put all this together, gave us a vision for it. But here's where fear could stop us. If we attempt to put all this together and take it to our city without all the right pieces being in place, all the right people on the team, you know fear will set in. Even now, to make the whole process happen the way God showed us, fear would like to stop us. Well, let's just make it a church. We'll just take every room and make it a church. No, the church can use every room.
Yeah.
But God designed this to touch a city.
Amen.
Fear can't stop us. And when the wind and the wave, when we once again find out some circumstances out there, fear would try to come. Oh, by the way, how many will submit to praying for us tomorrow? Let me tell you what's going on. We've been fighting a bit of a battle with the city because they decided to tax our building. And so we got them back again last week. John and I met with them. And once again, they wanted to see every room and to hear what we're planning to do with each room. And so now comes, they're going to re-meet with us tomorrow, late morning, and they're going to make an offer to us about what will be taxable and what not. And they wanted to make this meeting happen. Now, Dale wrote to the city and asked them why they were going to tax us. And they said to themselves, well, exactly why are we doing this? In the meantime, isn't it interesting that they changed the chief taxation officer? And so we had this one that was particularly wanting to tax us, and now we have this one that wants to meet and talk about it all. Just, in fact, they're going to make this presentation, and then they want to hear from us on it. That's good. And not only that, they're not saying, we demand you come to City Hall. They're saying, well, you can come to City Hall, or we'll come back to you again. The whole attitude, favor, is set in place. But tomorrow is a very key meeting tomorrow. And so if you'd pray into that, that would be awesome. Praise the Lord.
Remember life deed.
Thank you, Lord. Again, in the Word of God. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, this is verse 31, and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Isn't it interesting that he just had faith enough to walk on the water? Can you imagine you just got out of the boat and you began to walk across the water to Jesus, and then you're told you don't have much faith? Dear Lord. But that's what Jesus said. And so we have to analyze that a little bit, look at it a little bit and say, so the little faith came when fear came. Faith was reduced when fear came. So back up just a little bit. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. I like that part about it, that Jesus met him at the point of his need. I like that part where Jesus came quickly to him and held up his hand and kind of, my picture of it is that he kind of jerks him out of the water, right? And now he's walking with Jesus. And then Jesus says, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Doubt is a symptom of fear. When you get into doubt, you're in fear. So think about that this morning. You have little faith, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Recognizing Jesus is with you is one of the main things that you'll overcome faith with, or excuse me, fear with. In other words, to walk in faith when you are in a situation that fear tries to paralyze or cripple, knowing Jesus is walking with you through it all helps you to overcome the fear and continue to walk in faith. You may say, I'm not in fear in any way. And I'm glad if that's the truth in your life. I'm glad. There have been times along the way since Jesus called us to resurrect this old building when I faced fear. And a lot of times. There have been times when we had lots of bills and no money. And there's that sinking feeling. I mean, you've had it when you didn't have enough money to pay bills in your own life, likely somewhere along the way, and it wasn't a fun time, and there's that little sinking feeling, you know. Thank God you can call out to our Jesus, right? Jesus, save me. But there have been all kinds of times when that sinking feeling came when it seemed like the building was too big a project for us. And there have been other times when it seemed to be dragging on and on and on and on. The end didn't seem to be in sight. There were times when, with this wrangling with the city hall, when when they wanted to charge us hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxation money, you know. Pardon me?
Be careful of live streaming, remember.
We on live streaming? City Hall, we love you. But nevertheless, the paperwork's there. The bill has been sent to us. Then along the way, how many remember the roof collapsing upstairs? Yes. I want you to know that was a time that fear tried to come.
Yes.
And for lots of us, I mean, that was a horrible looking condition when we walked there in there on that Sunday and saw the mangled mess and fear just facing us in the eye. But thank God we can cry out to Jesus and know that He's there and know that He's going to take us out of this.
Yeah.
And He did. He did. Now, the proof's in the pudding, and we haven't seen everything yet, and this spring is going to show us some things about that ceiling in there, but the bottom line is this, that so far, all we've had was a few little leaks. The main membrane up there that keeps the roof over our heads, so to speak, looks like we haven't lost it, which is an amazing thing all by itself. Amazing. If you saw that, even I brought the insurance people through, and they said, Glenn, we probably are going to have to replace that whole thing. That was their judgment. But how many know that as long as we don't get into fear and believe God for favor in every way, favor is bigger than just with man, you know, that we can overcome. So here's this stage. In 2014, we will begin to walk in the vision that God gave us for how this place is to operate. And we will need to be together as one to see it through, to walk in faith, and to do our parts. There's so many giftings here that we'll have to play in. Team is the concept to make it work. This last week, Joan already told you, we were in Ottawa, and I was meeting with the presidents of the land. And all of them knew, because I couldn't be at one of their meetings because of what had just happened when the roof fell in. So I had to send a message to the president's meeting saying, this is why I'm not coming. Not to show up would have been a bad thing, even an evil thing. So I had to give them a reason why I was staying here. In any event, they all knew about it. They gathered and took time out of their busy schedules to pray for this church and to pray for that, what was happening there and all of that. And so all the way around the room, I got this. They probably would have saved time this time if they'd have said, Glenn, just take a minute and tell them what's going on at your church. But instead, everybody individually would come to me and say, now tell me what's going on with your building and what happened with that falling ceiling in there. While they're all interested, it can also take you into a bit of fear all over again. I don't think about, on a daily basis, I don't think about that fallen ceiling in there. And when I walk in the building, there's not a thought about it. But going back there and having hundreds of presidents say, Glenn, now tell us about that ceiling and about that building. And you rehearse it all, time and time and time again, fear can come. I had this week to say, fear, go. I needed to ask Jesus to take me over into faith bigger than before. This last stage right now, a lot of what we need to do by bee, and I'm so thankful for what's going on in this church and for how many have been out to the bees. But what I see upstairs while I've been away, it's wonderful, awesome, and the elders of this church, bless you and thank you for being here. Of course, that just leads me up to saying, John's going to announce another one this morning. And so I'm thanking you in advance for being here. Understand that these are the final hurdles to get us to that place where we begin to really enter into the vision. The vision really wasn't to rebuild the building. The vision was, what would happen when it was done.
Yes.
And that's where it needs to go next. And we have to be beginning to prepare even now. So believe God with us for the right people to come alongside now and begin to put it into place. Because by mid-year, the building needs to be being used. It needs to be being marketed right now. And so we need to get with it now. Next phase of the whole thing. And wow, that's big. That's big. I mean, even think about this. I was thinking, so what kind of a salary do we have to pay this person? And immediately fear would try to come and say, where is that money coming from? You know? You say, well, that's not fear. That's just common sense. I tell you what. It's real fear that tries to come. The budgets are big. Finances that need to come through the door to meet it all, yet God said. And I know when God says something, that He will meet our need. It's the way it goes. When we step out and say, okay, God, we know what you need to do here. We know what the vision is. Okay, we'll do it. It was like him getting out of the boat. Fear comes at many places. Anyway, I've got this thing that works in me, that when I cry out to God, fear goes. I command fear to leave. Fear goes.
Yeah.
And I step out into a new kind of faith. And I'm so thankful that he meets our need every step of the way. Now let's go back in here. I'll close real soon. I felt like that this week there were a lot of fronts. Because I was not able to make the president's meeting last year, one of the reasons that I couldn't make it last year was a health situation. And so you have to know that they, almost all of them, asked me about that too. Ah! I try to stay so positive, you know? And most of the time people aren't not running around asking me, but all of these presidents had heard, Dave McGrude told them that Lyme disease had recurred in my life. And oh my goodness, I would turn from this way to that way to that way. I walk down a hall or whatever, and there's somebody beside me saying, by the way, Glenn, how's your Lyme disease? Oh, now we all believe a little different there, you know, dear Lord. And so you have to be very careful how you answer that. Like, I want to say it's not my Lyme disease. It's not mine. And you know, if I tried to say, well, I'm healed, which is the truth, by the word of God, it's the truth. But there would be some there that would say, yeah, but we noticed you're not walking quite straight. You know, and so on and on, it's a touchy thing. And the relationship's everything. In the kingdom, relationships everything to God. And so I dare not do something that would cause a relationship to break or strain. And so you're kind of caught in between. And fear would try to come. But fear comes a lot of the time just by people reminding you of the circumstances, right? So glory to God, it was quite a week. And no wonder I'm talking to you about fear. I'm preaching to the one that's been facing it all week. But glory to God, we will overcome.
Yeah.
We will overcome fear of this next season of our church, which is really huge. Remember, part of the vision that we had here was to take Prince Albert for Jesus in community with the other churches here in oneness. And we recognized from the very beginning, when we came to put this church together, that we would have to have relationship that works in oneness to take this city, and that we would be leaders of that. And so that's what's been happening. The next stage is big, and I believe it's a vision that we have that will cause this city to come into the prosperity that it was originally supposed to have.
Amen.
In any event, back to the Bible. You of little, verse 31, Jesus saying to Peter, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why did you get into fear? It's interesting. It doesn't look like there's an answer there. It does not appear. Usually, if Jesus asked a question, he absolutely gives the answer. All we have to do is dig for it. But this time, you have little faith. Hey, Peter, you have little faith. Why did you get into doubt? And then it just says, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now Peter's one of those. He's now in the boat. Well, we need to cry out to Jesus right now, because there's some things that God needs to do amongst us to put us in a place for the next stage. I believe he's been doing it now. I believe something awesome is already taking place. But this stage does demand change in us. Our oneness. We've been one before, but this one's bigger. This is a major step in our call. This is huge. And I sure don't want God saying to us, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you get into fear? But what they did immediately, they'd been doubting, but they worshiped God. I know that our worship here is a big thing in overcoming. Our worship becoming all that we desire for it to be. Worshiping in a oneness. You know what thrilled me the most this morning when we began worship? I heard some of the old shouts again. That just thrilled my heart. Made me want to shout. I heard some people clapping. I heard some noise from the saints of God. Wasn't that, I'm sorry for saying it this way, but I think of it as deadly silence, deadly quiet. I don't like that. I think God likes us to be noisy, exuberant people in worship. I'm seeing it back. I'm seeing it returning. And if we'll pray and set fear aside in every area of our lives, there is something big. There's something really big that we'll enter into today. And so I want to say, just like Jesus, into all of your lives and into this church as a community, do not fear.
Do not fear.
Do not fear. And then I'm going to ask you to say it to one another in the rows, people around you. Just turn and say, don't fear. Do not fear. And then I'm going to ask the praise and worship team to come on back up for a moment or two. Yeah. Now, this is terrible for me to do. And maybe they can't even deliver. I'm not in fear. I'm just going to ask them something that I haven't asked of them for a long time. And that they're absolutely unprepared for, I believe. That grace song.
Grace.
Call who?
Charity.
We need you. For what comes next? We are going to need to operate in the grace of Almighty God. We're going to need His grace bigger than we've ever needed it before. A, to finish the building, and then to step out into our call to this city. It's really big. So I'm going to ask them to sing it to us this morning and to God. And for you, if you can, join in it. But let us remember, we're only going to do all of this with God. It's the only way it happens, but it does happen.